Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. While we anxiously await the writ to be dropped on or before September 15th, there is no doubt the federal election campaign is already underway. In fact, some would argue, locally it's been going on for nearly a year now, minus the lawn signs. As we prepare to cast our votes on October 21st, it is far too easy to be swept up, with the party leaders in the national race. One can forget that it is not just five people in a horse race for the top job. Locally, we get to send a person to represent us here in the riding of Northumberland Peterborough South to Ottawa. Today, we start the interviews for that all-important job. I am pleased to have in studio with me the candidate for the Conservative Party of Canada, Philip Lawrence. Welcome, Philip.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Rob.
When you're out knocking on doors, what are the issues facing our riding that are not included in the list put forward by your party leaders or the National Campaign Office? What are the ones that are unique to us?
Yeah, so I guess this has gotten some national attention, but in my my opinion, it should actually be more. But the flooding in Brighton and along Cobourg on the entire coastline there, it's a significant issue, and I believe that we need to have some substantive action on that, which starts with reviewing the 2014 plan.
So when you talk about that, though, I know it's an international joint commission. What role does the federal government play in this? Because I know that the municipalities are making deputations. I know that they're pressuring the provincial government to do something. Why do you think the federal government needs to be involved, or how do you see it being involved?
Yeah, so it is an international, as you rightfully said, and when we have international discussions and conversations and negotiations, that does bring us within the federal purview. And I think that we need to re-examine, look at that, look at the amount of flow rate that was coming out, re-examine 2014, because it does seem strange to me that 2 years, two out of the last 3 years since it's come into implementation, we've had flooding and high water levels on Lake Ontario.
Now, one of the things that the 2014 plan wanted to do was to enhance wetlands along the shorelines or around Lake Ontario, that was an important environmental aspect to this. Why does that get trumped by the fact that some people are losing part of their beach or that there's been flooding?
Yeah, in my understanding and talking to the residents, and I've been down there, is that the wetland, it's been accomplished, right? We've got the additional wetlands, so it's not a matter of one or the other. It's actually something we can work together. And so the wetlands should be taken into consideration. But my understanding is that they've made good progress on that. And now it's time to maybe re-examine that and just make sure we got a proper balance between the residents' concerns and the wetlands, which is obviously of critical importance.
Agriculture is a major industry in our riding, and you have spent most of your life on a farm. Mm-hmm. What is your party doing for farmers in our region?
Yeah, so one of the things that I'm personally going to advocate for is the maintenance of supply management. So underneath NAFTA, now USMCA, we gave up 4% of our dairy industry, which is a large portion. And as I've been out there to Hastings and to Campbellford and to Trent Hills and a lot of our riding, as I talk to dairy farmers and really farmers across the area, they've been hit hard by that, and we need to make sure that we stand up on the international stage respectfully, but with strength, and we protect our industry. The other major thing that's hit farmers recently is the carbon tax, right? So when we put the carbon tax on, we make everything more expensive, from gasoline to all the secondary uses. And so that's hit farmers as well. So we're going to make sure that we make life more affordable for all Canadians. And of course, in that is farmers who really are the heart of our community, and the backbone of our economy here in Northumberland, Peterborough South.
Well, you talk about the farmers and the what's been happening with them in regards to the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement, or the NAFTA 2.0. But it's only a draft agreement at this point. If you are elected into power, what are you prepared to do about that? Because that's the part that you're talking about when you talk about how it's being punitive.
Right, exactly. And so we are going to we're going to make sure that when we negotiate these treaties, we're going to make sure that that we do it in a competent, strong way. We need to rebuild the relationship with the United States that has become fractured and frayed, and we need to do that in a competent way to make sure that we represent Canadian farmers and make sure that we don't give up any more of our dairy industry or egg industry.
Are you able, though, to reopen these negotiations? To my understanding, these are agreements that are meant to come before the Parliament to be approved. How is it that you're going to be able to go back and renegotiate this?
Yeah, so what we're talking about is to make sure that on the international stage, as we go forward, you're correct. In a certain extent, what is done is done. But we will, on a go-forward basis, we're going to work hard, and we're going to make sure we have the most competent people around, and we need a leader like Andrew Scheer who will stand up for the farmers in North
America. And I appreciate that, you know, going forward, that might be your intention, but the reality that you're talking about is now. How are you going to solve this problem now, going for these farmers, because, you know, it's great. I don't want to take away anything from you going forward, but they're in a pickle now. And I don't hear you saying anything about what you're going to do between now and whatever you're going to start to, or whatever deals you're going to negotiate in the future. So what are you doing for them now?
Right. So we will review and make sure that to the extent possible that we have, as we transition and we reduce the industry, or the former Liberal government has reduced their industry by 4%. We're gonna review that, and we're gonna take care of those farmers who are transitioning.
But my understanding is the Liberals are doing that now. They've already offered transition funding to farmers, so that's already being done. What's different then between what you're offering and what they're offering?
Well, what I would say is that over 4 years, Justin Trudeau has shown a pattern of breaking promises, and in fact, that transition payment package he promised in June and is only delivering in this election time. And so we have a track record of making our commitments and making our promises. So one of the things that I would say is a contrast, Rob, is the fact that we're going to deliver on our commitments.
But they are delivering. I believe these guys are getting money, are they not?
Sorry?
I believe they're getting money now. The fact that they announced it now is one thing, but I think they are getting the money. Is that correct?
Sorry. I believe the package is over a period of time, if I'm not incorrect on that.
Yeah.
And so we will make sure that we make good to our commitments to protect those farmers.
Okay. Now, the previous Conservative government dismantled the Canadian Wheat Board. And, I wonder to what extent, I mean, you say you favor supply management, and I appreciate that's your position, but your government, what is its commitment then to following through with supply management? Because there seems to be, even the Liberals, as you note, are starting to pick away at the edges of supply management. What commitment does your party have to maintaining supply management?
Yeah, so we are in favor. We had our policy convention, which happened, almost a year ago now. We voted, we did not have, I should say correctly, we kept our commitment to supply management. And so we elected a leader who is in favor of supply management. Andrew Scheer is on record and saying that he will protect the dairy industry. And it's so great to have a leader who recognizes how important it is to ridings like Northumberland and Peterborough South, and the fact that supply management has consistently provided the Canadian consumer a high quality of goods at a very reasonable price while protecting our farm industry and helping the family farms in Northumberland and Peterborough South.
I want to talk about jobs for a minute, and you know, precarious labor abounds in our riding. In fact, many people have to leave this area to find full-time work, or they need to have multiple jobs to earn a living. They often have to take a job where there's no benefits or a pension. And so what would your government do to bring full-time employment to Northumberland, Peterborough South?
Yeah, one of the things I'll tell you, Rob, is, and I'm happy to come back here at some point in the future, is a lot of our platform, like all of the major parties, hasn't been given out to the public yet. In fact, I don't even have access to it. But we've got a lot of great things to come. But specifically, what we're looking at in terms of getting jobs back to Canada, in fact, Northumberland and Peterborough South, is we want to make life more affordable for Canadians, right? So doing things like repealing the carbon tax, taking the HST off of heating oil, and we want to have, I think part of it is it's as much, I mean, it can be a mindset as well. Rob, we really want to celebrate the achievers, the business owners, the ones who are creating those jobs, right? If you remember in the early years of the Trudeau government, they labeled, the finance minister labeled small business owners as tax cheats. We don't think that's appropriate, and we don't think that's right. They tried to. If it hadn't been for an outpouring, actually, from the industry that I come from, financial planning professionals, as well as accountants and lawyers, they would have jacked tax up on passive income up over 70%. That's really outrageous.
But I mean, I'm not finding anything. If I'm a person out there right now and I'm holding down two or three part-time jobs, or I'm holding a part-time job where they schedule me so that I can't even get a second job so that I can afford gasoline, let alone whatever taxes are attached to it. So what are you saying to those people? I mean, I appreciate what you're saying, but it's the business owners that are offering these precarious jobs that are not prepared to offer full-time work when they need somebody to work 44 hours a week, and they don't want to pay benefits, and they don't want to. So, I mean, I appreciate very much their contribution, and you've obviously articulated that too. But what about the working people in our riding who you know have to drive to an hour to get a decent job that's full time? So, what are you saying to those people?
You know what? Over the 4,000 doors that I've knocked personally, and the 25,000 doors that our team has knocked so far, I've heard that exact issue more than any other, Rob, so I think it's an amazing question. So, like I said, concrete-wise, the carbon tax is a huge impediment because it doesn't work on two accounts. One is, if you're a single mom living in Orono who has to drive to the GTA, you've now had to pay more for taxes, okay? It doesn't affect you. Like, you can't go out and afford a Tesla. You'd like to, like Gurnier did.
I appreciate the carbon tax argument, and I know where you're going. I appreciate that, and I think most people understand where your party stands on this. What I'm talking about, though, and I'd like you to address this, is the idea that there is precarious labor, that it's become a dominant form of labor in our riding, and the fact is that it's really difficult to find a full-time job. That, you know, you get contract work, you can get 30 hours a week or 25 hours a week somewhere, and you can't even plan for anything else because they keep jumping your days around. There's no equity for these people. What about them? That's not a carbon tax issue. That's a I need a full-time job with a pension and benefits issue. So how do you address that?
Right. So that's another great question, Rob. So part of that comes to what we've seen done provincially, which I think is great, and that's making sure that people are prepared for the trade. So we have people graduating school. This is all provincial. This isn't my area, but having people graduating school so that they can add value immediately to the economy and get jobs. But part of it also, I would take back to the carbon tax. I understand that, but part of this is we've got to get the economy rolling. The engine that drives this, that creates jobs, that makes sure that people are have the lifestyle that they deserve, that they don't have, the single moms don't have to work two or three, is the underlying economy, which underneath the Trudeau government, we haven't seen. People, I've knocked those doors, and I understand people are in difficult situations. So nearly 50% of Canadians are within $200 of insolvency. So if we get the economy moving more effectively, more efficiently, we can open up the labor market, we can create better jobs, and we can make sure that we have more financial security for folks in Northumberland and Peterborough.
We witness a pattern where conservatives like to give a tax break to people. Usually it's to those who have quite a bit or to business. And then what we watch is that once that goes, all of a sudden the coffers are there's not enough money, we have to make cuts, and then key social services are cut. Can you promise to maintain social services and current programs under your government?
So, Rob, that's a difficult promise for me to make, just because a lot of social services are provided provincially. And so as much as I'd like to tell David Pacini, our MPP, what to do, I don't know if David would love that too much. But what I can tell you is that if you are interested in social services, if you are interested in education, if healthcare is a big concern for you, then you need to vote conservative, because underneath Justin Trudeau's Liberals, we're now $71 billion closer to the debt. We're going to keep adding up. Those future taxes, that deficit is future services we will not get in Northumberland, Peterborough South. We need to vote conservative on October 21st, because if you want to fund those services, we need an economy that's rolling, and that's what will happen underneath Andrew Scheer's leadership. In addition to that, you know what? We've seen what happens after 15 years provincially of Liberal rule. The deficit is out of control. It's out of control, which has left our current provincial government in a very difficult situation.
Well, I appreciate how you differentiate between provincial social services what the role of the federal government is. But we do know that the federal government does supply transfer payments for hospitals. We have seen this government hand out money for autism programs. So it's not beyond the scope that the federal government isn't involved in social services. And they also give money to infrastructure programs, et cetera, et cetera.
So Rob, just on that.
Please.
If you don't mind.
No, not at all. Please.
Andrew Scheer, about 10, 15 days ago, released what he called the healthcare pledge on behalf of all the Conservative candidates party, that we will fund healthcare to the level currently funded or increase funding going forward. So we've made that pledge. We've made that commitment.
Thank you. So let's talk about the carbon tax. Now, one of the things that you...
Before we go there, Rob, I apologize. But
not at all.
Just circle back to one of the points. So one of the things you said in the preamble to that question was the fact that, you stated that previous Conservative governments have given tax cuts to the rich, and that's not trickled down. Is that...
Yeah.
So what I think, you know, and where I've gotten a ton of support at the doors is our Conservative government is there for the middle class. We're not the ones cutting checks to $12 million checks so Loblaws can get fridges, while the residents of Northumberland, Peterborough South try to fill their fridges. It's not fair, it's not right, but we are the party of the middle class. The Liberals are the party of their clique of friends or elites. We are the party of the middle class, and I think that comes out full circle. In addition to that, we're not the ones making deals with SNC-Lavalin, with having a direct telephone line between SNC-Lavalin and the PMO office. We're the party of the middle class.
But you did give out grants to business. You helped GM when they were in the last conservative
yes.
government helped them. So it's not beyond that your government does help business.
No, I'm proud of that too. We're here to help. We're here to help business. Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about the carbon tax.
All right.
Because I know you're anxious to do that, because that's a big thing for your party. You always talk about it, but you don't ever mention that it's revenue neutral. And that you get back the money that is given, and that it's a way of dissuading people from using gasoline that creates carbon, which is hurting our ozone layer. And I often think it's like the tags that here in Northumberland that we put on our garbage. It's meant to discourage us from putting out garbage. It's not to charge us necessarily, but to discourage us and to do more recycling. So it is a method that people use, or governments use, to get the public to participate in a certain way. Also, I noted when my research that back in 2014, Preston Manning supported carbon tax.
He still does, yeah.
Yeah. So why are you guys so dead set against this? And why don't you mention the revenue, the revenue neutral aspect of the carbon tax?
So the revenue neutral number comes from the office that was given its instructions by the PMO. So those numbers, I don't want to quibble, Rob, but I am going to quibble, is that those numbers we don't believe are correct. And so, and you know, we can go back and forth that some families are losing, some families. That those numbers, in my estimation, don't underlie the secondary costs, right? It's not a static economy; it's a dynamic economy, which means we multiply those costs in, so things are getting more expensive. And the reality is that 80% of middle class families in Canada are paying more in tax. So I won't quibble there. But what I will tell you is the purpose of the carbon tax is one thing and one thing only. That is to reduce the amount of carbon and to get us on track for our targets. We are falling further and further behind those targets because at the current rate at $50 a ton, the carbon tax will not change behavior. In order to change behavior, this isn't me, this is economists who are saying this, you need to get up over 100. And Catherine McKenna said that that she was leaving the door open, more or less implying that they were going to increase it. And in fact, they are planning, Canada's Environmental Agency is planning to increase the carbon tax to $300 per ton.
Why do you think, though, that we're not going to have to suffer a little bit to save the climate, save the earth?
Yeah, so we definitely want to reduce the amount of carbon that's going out, but we want to do it through technology, not taxation. Our plan is all about technology, and it's about funding technology to make sure that we can, instead of it dampening our economy while we're reducing the carbon, our carbon footprint, we are going to actually increase our economy because we're going to be promoting green technology.
Do you believe that the climate is an issue of great urgency for the government?
I believe that climate change is a key issue, and I've certainly heard that at the doors, and I respect that, and I think we need to take action.
All right. The University of Montreal did a Canada-wide survey that was broken down its results by riding. And in Northumberland, Peterborough South, it shows a majority support carbon-based fuel tax, 53% versus 41%. Isn't your party a minority in this riding?
So I've knocked, like I said, 4,000 doors, and I've gone, our team has done over 25,000 doors. And so we've talked to lots and lots of people. Now, with respect to that survey, I just don't find that to be the fact. Most folks, and you also have to, depends how a survey question is asked too, because folks are, 50% of Canadians are now within $200 of insolvency. And so if the carbon tax is increasing your cost, if you weigh that against that, if you weigh a carbon tax that is going to have no impact on our environment.
But it's the University of Montreal. I mean, these are academics. They're peer-reviewed. This is not somebody just pulling stuff out of the sky. It's a legitimate group.
I'm not saying that. All I can say, Rob, is what I've experienced.
Yep.
And people are telling me that life is too expensive in Northumberland and Peterborough South, and that the carbon tax has made their life more expensive.
Yep.
And that the vast majority that I've come across, and like I said, maybe my sample size is all off. But on the 4,000 doors, it's affordability, affordability, affordability.
And on that note, we are going to take a break for some commercials. I'm talking to Philip Lawrence, Conservative Party candidate for Northumberland Peterborough South. Please stay tuned to Consider This Northumberland on Northumberland 89.7 FM, your truly local source for news. We'll be right back. Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you are listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. My guest today is Philip Lawrence, Conservative Party candidate for Northumberland Peterborough South. We're talking about his platform and the upcoming federal election on October 21st. Philip, tell us about yourself.
Yeah, thanks, Rob. I appreciate that. So, in terms of my family, I'm a father of two wonderful kids, Margaret, who is who's 4 years old, and James, who's five. And we live in Orono, in an old stone home there. We've got a couple dogs and a couple horses, and I've grown up in rural Canada, and love being out there. Love being out there in Orono too, a terrific town, one of the many, many great towns in Northumberland, Peterborough South.
What do you do for a living?
Yeah, Yeah, so I currently manage the region of Durham for one of Canada's largest financial services.
Which one?
Sun Life Financial.
Mm-hmm.
Work with our 40 or so advisors to help deliver lifetime financial security for all of our important clients here going forward. Yeah.
But you're also trained as a lawyer.
I am. Yeah, I practiced corporate and tax law for a couple of years. And then I got back into the family industry, third generation working for a financial services company, and I love it. I love meeting with clients and helping them achieve their goals.
Why didn't you stay being a lawyer?
Yeah, so I really enjoyed the practice of law, and it was great, wanted to make a bigger impact on people's day-to-day lives and have that connection. And I found, you know, leading people at Sun Life Financial to help people achieve their retirement goals and making sure that they're financially solvent going forward, it was so rewarding that that's the career path I chose. Yeah.
Now, you grew up on a farm too, didn't you?
I did. Actually, grew up on a horse boarding farm there, and spent my summers mucking out horse stalls and learning the value of hard work. Yeah.
Now, do you still ride horses?
I do. I don't anymore because of this election thing. I love being out there. I love the partnership that you have, with a horse and enable them to develop and you work as a team, and it's lots of fun.
In politics, you often hear people talk about the work-life balance, and especially with a young family. How do you do that?
Yeah, so most importantly, I have an absolutely spectacular wife. My wife, Natasha Lawrence, is just an amazing lady, and how she crams everything into the day that she can is unbelievable. She's also helping us with the campaign, but she makes life real, real easy for me, and so that I can be out there meeting with the residents hour after hour. And you know what? The other part of it is my best canvasser, Rob, is my son James. He is an absolute dynamo. So when I go canvassing, it's a good day if we get 50% of people on our side and we have some smiles. But when I take him out, I get invited in for a coffee. He gets given candy bars. It's an amazing thing. So thank you to the residents of Northumberland and Peterborough South for being so kind to my son and to me.
The six-year-old weapon.
Yeah, exactly.
The bomb, right? Right on. I know you've been involved with politics for a very long period of time. When did you first start being involved in politics?
I started canvassing back when I was 14 or 15 years of age, and then went on to do my political science degree at Brock University.
And how old are you now?
Okay, 41.
So for a long time.
Yeah.
Do you remember the moment when you became passionate about politics?
Well, that's a great question, Rob. You know what? I think it was back, and I don't even remember the radio program or the TV program, perhaps, but listening to a commentator talk about the difference between the conservatism and liberalism, which still exists today, is that at the end of the day, conservatives believe in people over government. And you know, as I'm going forward, you know what, people aren't perfect, but I'm inspired every day by the residents of Northumberland and Peterborough South. That single mom who's working 12 hours a day so her kid can do well. You know what, that senior citizen who's, we have a canvasser out with us, Rob, and it doesn't matter he's canvassing with me, but he's doing what he believes. His name's Gerald Stedman. He's out there with me every day, 70 plus year old, walking. We usually do about 20,000 steps. And he's walking 20,000 steps every day. He happens to believe in our message, but to be out there volunteering every day, walking 10 or 20 kilometers every day for something you believe in, you know, it's just inspiring, right?
This is not the first time you've run for office.
Correct. I sought the nomination when I was fresh out of law school for the Conservative Party. I got brought in kind of at the last minute, so I didn't have. Not sure how familiar or no matters, but the nomination process for either of the Liberal or Conservatives, but it involves, you know, getting support, and so I got brought in the last minute. But you know what, I should have had no chance based on how late I got into it. But we got within 12 votes of being the Conservative nominee. Yeah.
What did you learn from that experience?
Okay. I learned to prepare, to prepare, to prepare. And then if you're going to get into something, make sure that you're 100% prepared and you put that effort in. So we had a contested nomination, Rob, of actually four different contestants, five including myself, and great people, including the former mayor of Brighton, Mark Wallace. They're all fantastic people. My hat's off to them. But the reason why we won is we just outworked everyone.
Alan Lawrence was the longtime MP for this riding starting in 1972. He served for a decade and then he retired here. Is he related to you at all?
No. And
so we'll put that myth to death.
Yeah, thank you. You probably saved me about 1,000 conversations because I get that all the doors. And by the way, I actually met a former campaign manager of Alan's, and we had a great conversation, and have all the respect and admiration for Alan Lawrence. Truly an excellent, great politician.
Campaign Life, which is a national group for most notably its anti-abortion stand, has rated you as a pro-life, pro-family candidate on their website, along with giving you the green light of endorsement. Would you agree with their assessment of your stance?
So what I'm going to say there is I will appreciate their support, but the Conservative Party, and myself included in that, it will not reopen the abortion debate.
All right, so your party's not going to do that. I'm asking you, are you pro-life, pro-family?
Personally, just like Andrew Scheer and Justin Trudeau, I'm personally pro-life, yeah.
Okay. If Coburg was to hold a gay pride parade, which it does annually, and you were invited to participate, would you show up?
That would be something I would have to review. I don't know when it's scheduled, and I don't know when it would be. But that would be something that I would definitely consider.
You would definitely consider it? So if you were free, you'd be there?
Sorry?
If you were free, you'd be there?
I would definitely consider it, Rob.
Okay. What kind of job do you think Doug Ford and his government have done since coming to office?
Yeah, so you know what I have heard, and I'll be open with all of your listeners, Rob, is that I've heard of the Doors a lot of negativity towards the Ford government, and I'll tell the listeners what I tell it to everyone I knock on their door when they bring up some negativity towards Doug Ford. They were left in a difficult position, right? We've got Ontario having to pay $1 billion a month in interest. And that it takes a huge swath out of the budget, which means there's not enough money, or there's not as much money, I should say, to fund important priorities. My mom's a retired teacher. My sister-in-law's a nurse. So I understand and I get the importance of teachers and nurses. So what I would tell folks is that if they are struggling with as many, like I said, I'll be open with you, as some of the folks I've door knocked with, the best thing that they can do is make sure that on October 21st, they vote Conservative so we don't get into the financial mess that Doug Ford and the provincial government. The other thing I would tell you, candidly, and I'm biased because he's a friend of mine, but you have a great MPP here in David Piccini. He fights hard every day for the residents of Northumberland and Peterborough South, and he's working hard every day to make life better for our residents here.
So let me go back. What kind of a job then? You've explained a lot to me, but what kind of a job do you think he's done?
Yeah, I've listened to I've listened to David talk and Rod Phillips and a number of great people from that government. I think they'll be the first to admit there's been some missteps along the way. But like I said, it's a challenging situation, and really, I would say I think the best is ahead for the Ford government.
So are there any lessons to be learned then if a new Conservative government goes to Ottawa?
I think regardless of what the Doug Ford government has done or not, I think any government coming into play has to acknowledge that not everything's about ideology. Some things are about understanding of the groundwork, and sometimes the situation is the boss, and so we have to be thoughtful. And you have my word that, you know what, I will. I'm hopeful I'll get elected with 50% or more, but even if it's 43 or whatever the number is, that other 50% who didn't vote for me, I'm here to represent them too. And I think it's important of any government to realize that there's always going to be 50% or more or thereabouts of people who didn't vote for you. And we're here to not just represent the 50% who voted for us, but all of Northumberland and Peterborough South.
The Liberals keep mentioning Ford as part of their campaign to date. Are all Conservatives the same, or what makes you guys different?
Yeah, so, I mean, there are two separate parties, the Provincial Conservative and the Conservative Party. We don't have the same name, per se, but it's different issues. What I would say, and not to contrast, like I said, difficult situation the Ford government has inherited, but what I can say is that Andrew Scheer, and not that Doug isn't, but Andrew Scheer is a guy who I think can get work done, and I look forward to his positive vision for Canada being implemented and making life more affordable for Canadians.
In the face of all the attention given to the national leader's race, how important do you think a local riding race is in today's political climate?
Yeah, so you know what I found really fascinating, now they said having knocked the amount of doors we have, is how much of politics, as Tip O'Neill said many, many years ago, is all politics is local. And I really do believe that our individual MPs have a big impact. And I will certainly, regardless of the position, if we form government, I'm given, whether it be a backbench, a parliamentary assistant, or a cabinet minister, I'm going to advocate. And I there's great examples of Rick Norlock and other conservative leaders of the past doing some fantastic things for our community. And so I actually think it's a big part of the equation.
How much freedom do you get when it comes to shaping your local message?
So, you know what? And this might have changed, if I can be candid, from years past. I'm here with you today. I will be participating in 8 different debates. And so the party wants to make sure that I effectively communicate the message that the Conservative Party and Andrew Scheer's vision, and so they allow us. But they give us a great deal of freedom in terms of communicating.
Keep going.
Yeah, and so they really do give us a good deal of freedom in order to shape our message and make sure that our message resonates with the local residents.
Can you give me an example of where you've delivered your own message as compared to the one that you're asked to deliver by the national campaign?
Yeah, so as our platform has yet to be unveiled, or we've had certain planks of it, but as all the major parties will unveil it. And so what I talk about is, so there are certain issues that maybe we don't have. So I'll talk about, for example, seniors. So we have, of course, a high percentage of seniors in Northumberland and Peterborough South. And these are the folks who made Canada what it is. And so I have a great deal of admiration. And so I know that the party is going to be releasing planks in their platform that are going to be great. But before that has come out, what I'm telling you is I will be an out-and-out advocate for seniors in our community and across Canada, as I believe our country owes it to them. And I think that particularly people on fixed incomes, which often seniors are having a difficult time with dealing with how expensive Canada has gotten over the last 4 years.
What do you think the impact of social media plays in the local campaign?
Yeah, so I, like I'm sure all of our candidates there have active social media accounts, and I think it's a nice way to connect. What I like to see, to be candid, I've gotten great response on social media. I like to see it as a venue of discussion, right? As civil discourse. And I honestly have not seen it too much on mine. I don't enjoy the negativity sometimes social media can bring out, but I have so far had an amazing experience of positive impact. I'll give you an example. I won't say his name because I haven't asked him permission, but we had one gentleman who called me out on social media, and I answered back, and we ended up taking each other's phone numbers. We gave each other a call. We had a coffee, and so he went from criticizing something and to actually now he's a supporter, which is amazing. So.
It can get pretty nasty, though, out there. I mean, the memes that go around and, not necessarily generated locally, but by third parties that get shared a great deal. Do you think there should be some limits put on those kinds of communications?
I'm generally a freedom of speech type of guy, so I don't think that necessarily comes from the government, but I trust people, and so I would say out there too, if I've got any supporters listening, which I know I do, is that my expectation of all of us on our side is to be professional, to be civil, to contrast, yes, but never to be disrespectful.
How big a part does social media play in your campaign?
We've got a presence out there, but I really think I had a former politician tell me, you know, and this was 20 years ago or more, tell me, you know, Philip, there's a magic that happens when you're face to face with someone, and that magic can only happen when you're face to face. And so, as much as social media has come into play over the last 20 years, I still think that's true. And first and foremost, I just want to, and if you're out there to all of your listeners, there's nothing I want to do more than to sit down and have a coffee with you. There's over 100,000 people in our running, so will I get to all 100,000 in the next 40-odd days? Probably not, but I'd love to talk to as many possible face-to-face.
Speaking of talking to different people, what sort of reception have you received out in Alderville
Hiawatha,
sorry, yeah, it just jumped out of my head. Yeah. And Hiawatha, while you've been out campaigning.
Yeah, so the Indigenous people are critical to us going forward, and we of course support reconciliation, and so we've been out there. I've had a pretty good response. I mean, there are some specific issues certainly that are impacting the Indigenous people in our riding, but a lot of the things are the same, right? Like the affordability, we need to give everyone an opportunity to have success here in Canada.
What issues have been identified by the Indigenous community?
Yeah, and so at least that it's really, we've had the same conversations in the doors that whether it be Indigenous people or not, the same sort of affordability. They want opportunity, they want the ability to participate, and they want better for their children, just like everyone does.
Well, there's been a lot done and a great deal of attention given to advancing Indigenous people and their issues. What specifically are you going to be doing going forward to continue?
Yeah, so I'll be frank and honest. I think the biggest thing that I can do is listen, and so I want to work with our Indigenous populations here and make sure that I fully understand every issue and consult and have that ongoing dialogue. I'm not here to tell you we need to do this, we need to do that, we need to do this. Ultimately, but I think that happens as a partnership.
Well, but I mean, there are key things. I mean, water is supply is a key issue. Missing and murdered women and addressing the social ills, advancement of education, children. I mean, there's lots of stuff out there that's in the public realm. I mean, you know, it's great that you want to talk to people, but I mean, there's a lot out there that you could be talking to at this point. Why aren't you doing that?
Yeah, so we will continue to consult, and there is certainly, I mean, when you talk about grassy narrows or other areas of where we've had water pollution, and that just can't happen in Canada. We have to make sure that that the process of reconciliation continues, and we have to make sure that on or off reserves or anywhere in Canada that people have clean water. That's absolutely unacceptable, and the Conservative Party will be committed to making sure that the folks in Grassy Narrows and really just across the country, every Canadian should have access to clean water. To in 2019, to have anywhere, any square inch across our great land to not have clean water and to be dumping raw sewage into our water other places is just unacceptable.
Philip, I appreciate you taking the time out, and I'm going to hold you to the fact that you said you'll come back, because there's so much more to discuss and so many more details. And as you said, not all the party platform is out, so I'm sure as we go forward, there'll be lots more questions. So thank you for doing this interview now and for getting out early and talking to us.
Rob, it was an absolute pleasure to be here, and you have my absolute commitment, and you'll find that Conservatives always keep their promises, or at least this one does. I will be back.
I look forward to it. Next week, I have the incumbent for Northumberland Peterborough South, Liberal Kim Rudd, coming in, and I'm looking forward to that interview. As part of the coverage of the federal election, Northumberland 89.7 FM and Consider This are teaming up to help you get your questions and concerns addressed by the candidates. So we're asking you to please send us your questions for the candidates. We will collect them and send them off to the candidates' campaign teams to get answers. We will then post those questions and answers to our website. That means if you have a question or a concern you want addressed, please email me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com. That's considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com. Or you can post to my Facebook page or send it through Twitter. There will also be a feature on my website that will allow you to submit a question. I want to emphasize that we're looking for questions, not rants, insults, or partisan commentary. I will remove any of those items from social media and block you immediately, but questions will be welcomed. If you have any questions, comments, rants, or raves about this show, please email them to me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can go to my Facebook page, Consider This. Or if you are on Twitter, you can message me at rwash. I will read out a selection of comments on next week's show. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking the time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this.